Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hogue, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. 720 WGN. The Beat is on. I'm Mark Carmen. Who are you? No, you're okay. You're jumping over there. Where are you, JP?
I'm right here, sir.
There you go, baby. I can hear you.
Listen, it's so good to see you, man.
I've missed you.
I've missed you as well. It's sometimes, you know, miscommunication. Sorry I didn't text you and Hogue last weekend. But I was in Lake Geneva, you know, just basking it up in the sun in a nice the nice place. I forgot what it's called already. But had the kiddos swimming around in the pool, and I was thinking about you guys. And I got a chance to listen to you guys on the way.
No.
Back. Yes.
Wow.
Got a chance. And then let me just tell you, conversation was at its best. Forgot what you guys were talking about, though.
I don't remember what we were talking about either. But every show, we try to make it the best show possible, right? That's what we're going to do today. There's a lot of stuff going on. The MLB trade deadline tomorrow. The White Sox have already made a move. We will be your grief therapy spot to start the show today. For those of you who are going to miss Zach Duke, I know that there's a huge Zach Duke fan club out there. Zach Duke, ye of the 2-0 record, the 2.63 ERA, the 20 holes, the 42 strikeouts, now traded to the St. Louis Cardinals. This is tough, JP. No. I mean, when you heard the White Sox were going to sell off, and you thought about the big guys going, the Chris Sales and the Jose Quintanas and the perhaps even Jose Abreu's getting all aggressive, you knew this day was going to come when Rick Hahn was going to get super aggressive and make a move, and today was the day when he traded Zach Duke to the Cardinals.
I don't think anybody's going to call in. Not for grief therapy.
Well, your greatest memories of Zach Duke, I believe there will be lots of calls at 312-981-7200. Lots of calls. Zach Duke, your greatest memories. We might even give something away if someone has a really good one. So the White Sox started their sell-off, man. The deadline should be today. It's normally on the last day of the month, but a little quirk in the schedule because it happened on a Sunday and because there were 31 days and all this type of stuff in July. I don't exactly know
why. Thank you for explaining that, because I was wondering why.
Well, I did some extensive research before the show on this because I thought I got it wrong yesterday when I said it was Monday, but I'm like, I swear I know it was Monday. This is a leap year. So Major League Baseball, it'll mean a one-day leap in the annual non-waiver trade deadline. That's why. So the deadline moved to tomorrow and not the traditional July 31, which happens to fall on a Sunday, which is today. So the deadline tomorrow, 3 o'clock Central Time. And so that's why. I don't really know how that all makes sense, but that's how MLB explained it.
So if we don't get any grief calls or any calls about Zach Duke and, you know, maybe somebody can call in and tell us which character off of Game of Thrones that Zach Duke looks like.
Are you a big Game of Thrones guy?
Just recently. Recently, the last.
Are you caught up? Did you go binge Game of Thrones?
I binge and I'm in on the fifth season, so I'm halfway into the fifth season. It's one of the greatest shows that I've ever watched in my entire life.
All right. In case you're not following along, by the way, with the news, the White Sox got back outfielder Charlie Tilson.
It's pretty good.
Tilson was rated the 12th best prospect in the Cardinals system. He is now the 12th best outfield prospect. Now he's the fifth best outfield prospect for your Chicago White Sox. So, I mean, you're talking about a left-handed reliever who's pitching in the sixth and seventh inning. You're not going to get a ton for the Zach Dukes of the world. Zach Duke, though, in all seriousness, did a good job when he was here. Robin talked about emotions. I love when Robin gets emotional.
It doesn't happen that often.
Right, he's so calm. And then today, it's a tough one. Anytime you give up a good guy like him, a big presence inside our clubhouse and a very effective pitcher, see a guy like that go out the door, it's tough on everyone. I don't know necessarily what it all means beyond that, but we lost a good one today. Like, that's maybe the most impassioned speech that Robin Ventura's given in a while.
Yeah.
He got all bubbly on Zach Duke.
You got to do something, right? I'm still trying to figure out what's going on the South Side. Can you help me out with that?
Not really, but they do have the new outfielder, who is 23 years old, young Charlie Tilson was playing in AAA. Okay, does this excite you? Charlie Tilson hitting .282, 16 doubles, 8 triples, 4 homers, 53 runs scored, 15 stolen bases, on-base percentage of .345, 100 games at AAA Memphis.
Bring him up.
Right?
Bring him up.
Like, let's go. I don't need to see. I mean, they're getting crushed again today. Twins are up, well, crushed a little strong, but they're losing 6-3. So,
it's not crushed.
He was ranked the fastest base runner and the best defensive outfielder in the Cardinals organization by Baseball America. Okay. Rick Hahn, apparently, according to the Tribune, the Sox have kept their eyes on him since he was drafted in the second round of the Cardinals out of high school in 2011. So, this is a guy that they have targeted. And Hahn says that Charlie's a left-handed hitting outfielder whose speed and defensive ability enable him to do a number of things well to help his team win ball games. So they're getting a guy who's he's a piece. He's a guy. He can do something. He can fill, you know, he's a Tilson. He's a Charlie Tilson. Hey, listen, anytime, sell them all off, man. For real, right?
I mean, I think that's what you have to do if you're trying to – if you're really serious about winning, Carm. Come on, man. I mean, that's what you have to do. You have to. Sometimes you have to give away pieces that you don't want to put away or give away, but that's what you have to do to be able to win in baseball.
Well, and some other pieces that are going to move, right? You would think that James Shields is going to be out of here.
Yes. Shields.
David Robertson's got to be a candidate to go.
Adam Eaton?
I feel like I've just
been seeing his name as well.
Well, and that would be interesting because Adam Eaton hits at the top of your lineup, can play all three outfield spots. Kind of a leader in that clubhouse, I think it's fair to say, although occasionally it's a little odd, Adam Eaton. But I'm an Adam Eaton fan.
It's a hard thing to say isn't it?
And Adam Eaton, his contract's very reasonable. So that would be a tough guy to move. I'd be Shields, Robertson, maybe Quintana, maybe. I doubt it, but maybe. Highly doubt it. Hey,
you might get some phone calls with that one.
That White Sox fans tend to be a little quiet, little muted. Cubbies are at Wrigley tonight. Brian Mattis, left-hander, up from Iowa. They go 6-man rotation. Everybody gets bumped back a day, and he has to beat King Felix Hernandez, which is one of the best pitchers, or was one of the best pitchers in baseball. A little Sunday night ESPN action.
Don't know if you know this. Was there a reason why they had to bring him up so fast?
No, I think they're just trying to give that rotation a little bit of a breather.
All right.
So, I mean, this guy is a former Oriole career reliever. You definitely don't love the mound matchup tonight, but again, long season. And the Cardinals came in today 6.5 back, and they were 4-4 tied with Miami in the ninth, so we'll keep you up to date on that. More importantly than any of that, though, this week on Chicago's Best, Brittany.
My sister.
That's right. And Elliot, check out the best food from south of the border right here in the Windy City. Chicago's Best Mexican, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Huge question coming up on today's show that involves Hillary Clinton.
And who else?
Donald Trump and the NFL. So be here at 4 o'clock because we're really gonna delve into
what?
This. Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump.
In the NFL.
In the NFL.
I like
so
this.
It's all coming together. So we'll do that at 4. Tommy Christensen's going to be in our studio who trains Olympics. Did I say Tommy Christensen? Tommy Christian. Thank you, Dan Long. I don't know why I want to make him the Raiders tight end back in the day. Tommy Christian's going to be in our studio as we're going to talk about Olympic training. And what's going on at the Olympics? It's crazy.
There's a lot of stuff going on we can talk about.
Talk about whether JP would take a trip to Rio. Coming back here, 720 WGN. This is The Beat. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Jared Payton. And check in with Adam Hogue down at Bourbonnais in a matter of moments. And Tommy Christian, who's a director of training, one of the top sports performance coaches in the country, is going to be in our studio. So if you want to take your game to the next level, which I know that I want to.
I'm so mad at him right now.
You're mad at Tommy Christian?
Yeah, wouldn't take me, you know, to work out.
Really?
Yeah, so it wasn't good enough.
Ooh. Well, that's awkward.
So we'll see when he comes in the studio. I'm just joking. He's a good guy. One of my good friends.
Okay, I believed you. That's a little frightening on my end. Adam Hoge down in Bourbonnais joining us now on 720 WGN on his own show. Hoge, good afternoon. I love your new car. You look good in a nice Mazda Miata, and I think that's going to up your training camp coverage. What's the latest and greatest? I know things are looking better on the injury front for some.
You know, guys, it's been a pretty clean camp so far for the most part. I mean, we had the scare with Kyle Long a couple days ago, but that's turned out to be pretty minor. He's been out there on the sidelines the last couple days. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him as soon as Wednesday. They have an off day Tuesday, so give him a couple more days. Maybe he'll be back out there. Otherwise, most of the issues so far in camp have been cramping. And today we saw Eddie Goldman leave early with what was called heat illness. Heat illness. So he was overheated. It's been pretty hot down here. I mentioned that yesterday on the show. Hotter than the last few years. And I think it's gotten to the guys a little bit. But as long as there aren't any major injuries so far, it's been a pretty clean camp.
Hoge, it's funny because anytime that I don't get a chance to be down at camp, and I was with you last Thursday and got a chance to sit and talk with you for a little bit, but now I watch all your tweets from camp, and one that got me today was watching one of my old coaches from the University of Miami, Curtis Johnson, the wide receivers coach. Do you think you see Alshon and Kevin White, and just talk about him as a person, as a coach, and just watching him and what he's going to mean for the progression of those guys' careers?
Yeah, if people haven't seen that video that you're talking about, I posted a video today. You can find it on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E. Little snapshot of the Bears' new wide receivers coach, Curtis Johnson, who came to the Bears from he was the head coach at Tulane for a while. And has some history with Ryan Pace. They brought him in. He is, you can tell right away if you watch that video, a fiery guy. JP, you know that. And, you know, so far, especially with Alshon, I would say, he's riding him hard. I mean, and you know, I've never gotten the sense that there's any kind of huge concern about motivation with Alshon Jeffrey. But at the same time, I do think that there are players in the league that would have maybe tried to play through some of those injuries he had last year. And, you know, with the contract situation and whatever, maybe it was a smart decision, maybe it wasn't. But, you know, they now have a wide receivers coach that is not messing around at all with Alshon, pushing him through every rep in practice, whether it's individual drills or team drills. And it's been interesting to watch. It's been a lot of fun to watch because Curtis Johnson is just really entertaining. And actually, John Fox, after practice today, said as much, that he's an amusing guy to watch coach, and they like him a lot. But he does ride these guys pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, and for a guy who has been around and watched him coach everybody from Santana Moss to Reggie Wayne to Andre Johnson, he pushed those guys real hard, but he always got the best out of them. Sitting down with you, and we were sitting there listening to Jay Cutler at his little press conference on Wednesday, he talked about how the Bears' running game is going to have to, not will they, but have to be good. You know, how is that going to kind of play itself out as you see this thing kind of moving along? We know Jeremy Langford is the guy that everybody anointed as the heir apparent of Matt Forte, but it seems like that there could be a bunch of guys that are going to be having their hands on the football.
Yeah, I mean, if you're out here and you watch team drills, you know, Langford's the guy that's getting the first shot. But at the same time, I mean, we know that John Fox admitted this to us back in the offseason program. They're probably going to grab two guys, and there's really going to be two guys that emerge, and they're going to be rotating in there, and they're going to try to get the most out of that kind of running back by committee type deal. And sometimes you don't want to hear running back by committee, but it's worked for Fox in the past, and I think that's what he's trying to establish here, and I think that's how they hope to make up for the obvious lack of production that they're missing without Matt Forte, because that was a loss. There's no question about it. So, you know, whether it's Langford and Kadeem Carey, that's probably the favorite right now if you were to, you know, put odds on what the duo will be. But at the same time, They drafted Jordan Howard, who I like coming out of Indiana. And you know, Jaquizz Rodgers, people forget about him because he got hurt last year. And he ended up going on IR, and we didn't see him too much. But he's back here in Bourbonnais. He looks quick. He's getting a lot of reps. The Bears loved him before he got hurt last year, just as like kind of a third down option. And more so than anything, a guy that was really good on special teams. So don't forget about Jaquizz Rodgers, because he's still around here, and if he's healthy, there's a good chance that he's going to be on this roster.
Adam Hoge down in Bourbonnais. We're talking some Bears with you. Hoge, give me the update on Leonard Floyd. He took his first snaps apparently with the number one defense today in 7-on-7. That's the Bears' number one overall, or their first round draft pick, I should say. What's your impression of Floyd so far?
Yeah, he was limited yesterday because of that illness, and pretty much full go today. So that was a good thing to see, because just some bad timing when you come into your first camp and you're sick. But I'm not going to come out and say that he looks bad, because it's way too early to say something like that. But what I will say is, you know, nothing explosive so far. I mean, nothing that really wows you. I wouldn't say that there's concern by any means. It's only been four practices, and he's been limited. He wasn't out there for about one and a half of them, almost two of them, when you include him being limited yesterday. So we'll continue to watch him. There's only been two padded practices, but I will say his pads look big on him. You know what I mean, JP?
Yeah.
I mean, most of these guys, like Lamar Houston or Akeem Hicks, you know, they look like they're busting out of their pads. They're well built, and that's just not the case with Leonard Floyd. They look like they just look like they're too big for him. So he's still got to fill out a little bit. But you know, we kind of knew that was going to be the case, and we'll be continuing to watch him closely down here in camp.
Yeah, I walked, I think it was Thursday. I kind of was leaving practice, Hoge, and I saw him, and I had a chance to sit and talk with him for a little bit. And he actually, from the night of draft night, he just looks bigger now a little bit. So he can tell he's putting it on. Just going to try to figure out how he can maintain his speed and all that stuff once he really starts feeling better and getting into the things. But defensively, you talked about the guys on the outside. What about the guys on the inside, though? Have you been able to see? I know it's only been a couple of practices so far, but the inside linebackers, definitely a big difference there than what was in that locker room last season.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you have Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman, who I think more so than anything made a quick impression off the field with this defense and kind of the swagger that they bring. That was quickly talked about by his teammates and even the coaching staff. And that's something that this team severely lacked last year. But another thing they lacked, especially there at the inside linebacker position, it was maybe their biggest weakness on the entire defense, was instincts. And that was just something that Shea McClellan never had. And I thought that it hurt them, too, when you rotated young guys in like John Timo and Jonathan Anderson and Christian Jones. And Christian Jones, by the way, has been moved to outside linebacker now, and they kind of like him there a little bit more. But he'll be on the bubble, certainly with Sam Acho. That's kind of a side competition that we'll be watching as we get closer to cutdowns. But I think that's one thing Bears fans will notice quickly with Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman, is the instincts that they are bringing to that defense in the middle. Now, you could sort of see that out here in camp. It's early, and you kind of need to be in team drills to see that kind of stuff. But really, once we get to some real live action and games, and it probably won't be until the third preseason game when you really get a chance to get a good look at those two guys. But I think the Bears believe they have a major upgrade there at inside linebacker.
Ed, we'll talk again at 5:30 today, a little more extended at that point. We're up against news, but your 10-second thoughts on the loss of Zach Duke.
That's it.
I'm just happy there's someone awake over there.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Somebody awake. Thanks, Hoge.
Like you said right before I came on, right? We're quiet, apparently,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. This is true.
I've never been told that though when I'm talking about the White Sox.
Well, you are on the big stoop right now. Hoge's out there for all White Sox fans on 720 WGN. All right, Adam. We'll see you at 5:30.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
That's Adam Hoge down at Bourbonnais. Quick time. I'll get into news. Tommy Christian, TC Boost will be in our studio. And good news from Miami, the Marlins beat the Cardinals 5-4, walk-off in the ninth. So the Cubs now up 7 games on your St. Louis Cardinals, who have lost 2 in a row. 720 WGN. We're here to help you on the beat. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Jared Payton, Tommy Christian. TC Boost is in our studio, former Wildcat, now making your life better if you're training to get to the next level. You don't have to be an Olympic athlete. Tommy does train those two, including Jamie Moriarty, who was an Olympic bobsledder back in 2010. He's dropping names like Rashard Mendenhall in the studio right now. Jared Payton's looking at him all googly-eyed. Tommy, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You don't look like a trainer. You got the grizzled beard. You look like
he does. I mean, that's where the wisdom comes from.
See, the gray hair comes wisdom.
Like, I want to go into a room with you and sit down and go full psychology couch type of Sigmund Freud look.
I'm thinking more about maybe going to a bar or something, just sit down, have a brewski or something.
That'll work too. We could be in the mountains. We got a lot going on here with the Olympics and guys getting to and women for that matter getting to the next level. Now, you've had an Olympic athlete who we just mentioned in Jamie. What do they go through to get from somebody who has played whatever sport they've played their entire life, and now August 5th, this coming Friday, the Olympics starts, and you want to be obviously at the best you can possibly be. Like, what goes on leading up to it, or are they already done? I mean, if they already put in the work and just ready to flow.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly better have already put in that work, or they shouldn't expect to have a great outcome. Certainly, you know, in the moment, their mental approach and their confidence will have a big impact on how they do. But I think the interesting thing about the Olympics is because it's every 4 years, there's such a tremendous buildup. You know, you think about a NFL player, they have 16 regular season games. Every year, an Olympian, they've got to wait 4 years for that one game. So I think there's a tremendous amount of pressure in this whole kind of training and, you know, sort of in silence leading up to the Olympics. And then you learn about all the Olympians other than, you know, maybe the big names like Usain Bolt. You know, there's a lot of stories that we're going to learn about in the next couple of weeks. And those stories have been, you know, more than 4 years in the making.
Yeah, it's crazy to kind of think about your training, because you never know what could happen, right? You train to try to get to the Olympics, and you could be leading up to the week before, and there's an injury that pops up, and then next thing you know, you're like, it's not like playing any other sport. When you look at some of the things that are going on with, like, you hear about the Russians and all that stuff with the doping and all that stuff, how does that come across? Because everybody's trying to get an edge, everybody's trying to win, everybody's trying to train, but it seems like some people want it a little bit better than everybody else.
Well, you know, I think it's, I think it's a shame. You know, if you're competing, you want to be competing on a level playing field. You know, there has to be enforcement of rules, and athletes that are cheating to get ahead, to get an edge, you know, really sends a bad message to our kids in terms of, you know, what takes place in life. And I think sports are kind of a microcosm of life. And what are the things that we're teaching? You know, most of our athletes are our youth, and if they're fortunate to be world class, you know, they're still competing maybe into their early 30s. But I just think it's human nature to look for that sort of easy way out, or you want to kind of create that edge. But at the end of the day, it's cheating, and it's, I think it's good that they enforce it. They need to. It sort of discredits a lot of numbers, and it's hard to really, you know, slot, I think, over history, athletes that are cheating, athletes that aren't, you know, who really was truly the best. They're all world-class athletes. You know, just some are cheating.
Well, and you listen, you played at Northwestern. That was back in the Gary Barnett era.
Way back.
So, well, anyone, you've also coached there for, you know, yes, post that. So, listen, I don't think anyone is naive that some guys in college football are doing things that others are not to get an edge. And some guys are just, I don't know, 20, 30 pounds heavier and just as fast. And how did you make that happen? So, I mean, I would assume that you would run across guys who have that temptation and want to do something that can make them better on the field, but don't want to get caught, mm-hmm, but are willing to take that risk. I mean, how often does that conversation, now, obviously not naming any names, but how often does that conversation happen?
as we train, especially in the youth population, we have that conversation a lot because young athletes, high school athletes, very, you know, they're influenced easily by their friends, by the guy behind the GNC counter. So, you know, we really preach that, yes, you can expect transformational results with proper training, but it's a commitment to a process that takes time. And there's not a way to cheat and shorten that process and have the ultimate long-term outcome that you want. Being at Northwestern, I don't see it. You know, we talk about it. You know, athletes know there's a lot of communication about what's NCAA approved supplements, what's legal. The university abides very closely by that. In my experience, you know, and all the time that I was there, but there are athletes behind closed doors. You don't know what they're doing, and so it's really messages of, I think, just integrity and character that go into it. You know, and in the end, if you're supplementing, you're taking steroids, the muscles are developing strength faster than the connective tissue can handle. Mm. Ultimately, you're going to wind up, you know, probably having some more ruptured tendons, maybe cartilage. So,
yeah, it's good. I don't know what went on at the U.
Oh, nothing. We didn't have anything like that going on, man.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you know, not that I know of, but Tommy,
put him on the spot.
Tommy, you walked in and we were talking about, you know, training, and you know, when I trained for the NFL back in 2003, right after it was 2004, right after the Orange Bowl, and I remember going to Don Beebe and training and working, but it was like I was learning how to work, but I wasn't learning how to eat as well. It was just like, put all this work in, mm-hmm. but I was still at sometimes leaving there and maybe going to McDonald's and grabbing something to eat because I was hungry. Where now it seems like that you guys and having this, not only working out, but the nutrition that goes along with it, mm-hmm. as well, is so much more prevalent in the business.
Yeah, it is. And at the level where the economics are there, we're involving a sports nutritionist, a chef, you know, and able to provide that because it is critical. You know, it's a third of the equation. You have the training stimulus, you have the nutrition, and then you have the rest. And if you want to have the best outcome, you know, you need all three of those.
Let's talk what's realistic here, because I'm in my early 40s here, and I'm wondering, you know, I watched a guy yesterday playing tennis. He was playing court one. In his 60s, at least, not missing a shot, running around, playing singles. And I got this dream, Tommy, that's going to be me. That at 60, I'm still going to be moving here.
Yeah.
And maybe at 70, who knows? Right. I can't give up the dream here. One of these days, I'm going to get to the level that I want to get to. Maybe it's going to take me to get to 70 years old before I can beat the guys that I want to beat. I think, you know, a lot of people in our, you know, our WGN listeners who are maybe trying to stay on the court, just get fit right now. So, like, right. How do you go, just take your standard guy who works out once or twice a week and still plays in his softball league or whatever,
right.
but is, you know, on the verge of perhaps blowing something out because he's really not doing exactly what he should be doing. Like, what would you tell that person to do?
Yeah, I think I would tell them to, number one, make sure that you're working with somebody or on a program that is designed for an athlete, not going into a Bally's and counting reps on a machine, you know, because all of the things that they're doing in life and on the court are movement based, very functional. And then when we train, we want to train in that same way. So, you know, you're looking at movement patterns. In order to have good movement patterns, first thing you have to have is good core stability. You have to have mobility, you know, so you really, you know, and as you get older, unfortunately, our bodies don't naturally drift towards perfection, you know, but they drift the other way. And so we're fighting an uphill battle. But in order to maintain good mobility, which we lose as we get older, you know, if we lose mobility, then we get compensation patterns and injuries. So you need to be training really where you have a good program in place that develops mobility, training in a place where you're able to learn how to move well. So you're able to learn how to shuffle, to jump. You have to be careful of jumping as you get older, but you need to still develop those plyometric abilities, train your tendons, because if you don't do that, you know, you're in an office all day, you go to Bally's, you count reps on a machine, and then you go out to the court, the likelihood of rupturing an Achilles, you know, or something just going out really high.
Listen.
So, I'm listening.
So you need to move, and we can help you.
Okay. So it's I've heard that before. JP, I'm sure this resonates with you as well, because you do a ton of training. As far as just what you're, it's not just training, it's what you're doing.
for my what I've done in being out of football since 2010, you know, my main goal, and I had to come up with some type of goal for me to reach. And what I wanted to do was to be able to, when my son would ask me when I, you know, he turns 14 or 15 and he says, "Dad, show me how to run this route or show me how you do this jump shot." I wanted to be able to show him. And so for me, I had to go through and really change my diet, change my eating habits. I wasn't a guy that drank a lot of water. I just kind of ate whatever I wanted to. And now I've had to kind of taper back on what I eat and watch what I eat. And it's not that I'm working out as much. I just have taken all these different things that I've learned over my career, and I've kind of put it into a small little program that I do myself. And I don't run a lot. I ride on the bike, and I try to save my knees as much as possible. So I'm 35 and I feel good. So sorry.
I want to talk about the mental side of training and going to the next level. So let's do that when we come back here. It's 312-981-7200. If you have any question for Tommy, wherever you're at, and you're just trying to take that next step forward, Tommy is here to help you. And if you haven't worked out for 3 years, we can start right there. So give us a shout if you want some help on this fine Sunday afternoon. 312-981-7200. Tommy Christian, TC Boost, is in studio on 720 WGN. Tommy Christian, the director of training for TC Boost. You can check him out on the web, TC Boost, just how you think it would be, tcboost.com. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Jared Payton.
Don't forget,
yes,
Tommy actually, he put it out there last time he was here. He said that if we wanted to come work out, that we could come, we could actually bring like some cameras and so. Yeah, Carm, I know you're ready to go. It might be Hogue that's holding us.
Well, make it happen.
Well, there's this thing in life called approach and avoid, and right now we're in full avoidance. So it's time for us to approach. I completely agree.
Walk the talk.
I'm supposed to run a 10K next Saturday morning. I've done no training, Tommy. So I was told yesterday we had Dr. Anil Gadadra on. He was saying just run 1.5 tomorrow. Actually, he said that. Run that last night, which would be today. None of that's going to happen. So now we're at Monday. Run 1.5, 2.5, 3.5. Add a mile on each day and do a lot of foam rolling, and you'll be okay. Is that or no?
5 days?
Saturday, yeah.
I don't think it really matters what you do. You're going to suffer a little bit.
Massive suffering, right?
I think so. It's going to be a mental toughness.
It's just going to be okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm on. He told me to take Advil beforehand, Advil after.
Hydrate.
Yep. Shin splints are probably likely.
Most likely. Mm-hmm. Don't buy new shoes. You have good shoes.
I mean, I don't have running shoes. Can I run in a nice little?
Buy new shoes.
Buy new shoes? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to do a little training this week. I'm going to try to run each day, just at least a couple miles. 1 mile, 2 miles. See how. And if I break down before, and then it's an excuse. All right. So I want to talk mental side here.
Go ahead.
So you got all these guys who are super talented, and they're all working out with yourself or different trainers, yet there's a certain edge that some, however they find it, get where they either believe in themselves or they orient to the moment where however they handle their fear, they use it to propel them. I mean, what's your experience as far as guys who are super successful when it really matters?
It's really eye opening in the NFL combine prep work that we do, because that's a very objective, measurable, performance event as opposed to a team sport game. And as we train those athletes and they get ready, it's very similar to an Olympian. Like we talked about earlier, the pressure is probably a lot more because it's a 4-year process. It's all they've got is their time. Ultimately, you go away from that in football, but the thing that is so true, and I always think of it as, you know, when you have those dreams where you're running in jello and you can't get away from the bad guy, you know, I think that's what your mind can do to you if you go up to the line. You know, you put your hand down or whatever the event is, and you believe that you're just not sure how you're going to do, and you're worried about it. And you have this anxiety, and the anxiety actually inhibits your motor patterns. It inhibits your ability to be explosive and fast and to run with rhythm.
It's tough, though, Tommy. It's tough, man.
It's a lot of pressure.
I mean, it's pressure I'll never forget. I'll never forget for everything that we trained, to put your hand down and get in your stance. And then next thing you know, you're at the combine and you see that all these people are standing there with stopwatches and that your life kind of depends. Right. For guys that that are able to do it, more power to them. But I knew a bunch of guys that were like, yo, that didn't run good times because they couldn't get that part out.
Right.
They were thinking about this is my only shot and not able to block that moment out and just run and do everything
right.
mentally. And like,
right.
you know, your body's been through it already. You know how many times guys run 40s,
right?
But it's tough when you got to think about your bank account.
It is. And it's not, you know, I always, when we train athletes, it's like, you know, covering the best receiver is a lot harder than running this 40. You know, running through a hole, making a big block on a DN, or you know. So it's ultimately you've run your whole life. It, I say you've never been more prepared in your life to run a fast 40. Just cut it loose, be excited, and believe that you know you're gonna have nervous energy, and you have to know and believe that that's gonna actually make you run better. And
yeah.
we were talking earlier about. You know, Rashard Mendenhall in the process of his preparation and, you know, coming up to the combine, you know, you go through a tapering process, you reduce the workload. And during that time, the work you've put in beforehand really begins to blossom when you taper.
Got a question for you. Do you go with guys to the combine?
This year I went with Danny Vitale and Dean Lowry from Northwestern, but I was just there. You can't really be that involved. So I'll be there at some of their pro timing days, depending on the school's rules regarding that. But usually you're sending them off and they're on their own.
Yeah, that's normally how it is. Because I just saw a video and I saw some guys that were actually getting work done in a ballroom or something,
yeah,
doing 40s
right.
and stuff. So I didn't know how much you could actually be around.
Yeah, you can be around a little bit, but once they go out to run, you're not out there. They're on their own.
I thought one of the interesting things you just said there as far as the anxiety and whatnot, it's you're going to be excited. But some people are certain, I think a lot of people, when I say that, I'm talking about myself, look at that excitement as, oh no, I'm scared. And then you can let that get in the way. Whereas you can look at, you're feeling that fear, but it's really just, you're just excited, man. Like,
right.
Let's go.
Like,
use it to fuel you. I don't know if you were successful doing that, JP.
Sometimes. I mean, the games were easy. It was all this other stuff that gets you kind of mentally sidetracked.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there's a lot of people probably out there, Tommy, that haven't been to a gym or haven't stepped in a long time and they're afraid to go.
Right.
You know, like they don't, because they know that there's going to be some hard work to kind of either get right. What do you have to say to those people that are looking for a place but are like, no, I'm afraid to step back into that realm?
Right. I think they just have to go. They have to break through that fear and they're going to find that it's not that bad. They're going to find that they're going, you know, hopefully if they find a good place, you know, I mean, I know a good place in Northbrook, but you know, you need to find a good place where you could be coached well, you know, and I think it'll become part of what they do. It'd be part of their routine. And I think, you know, I'm a father of three girls and I want to be there for my family. My motivation is not to play on Sundays. I want to live a high quality life for as many years as I have. And when are you going to start? You know, when are you going to make that change? Because you have to start building that habit and get through that fear. But I think most coaches, most facilities, they want to make people feel comfortable, I think, and then push them. But I think the fear is just something you got to go through.
So we got about 2 minutes here. So you're talking about, you know, somebody walking through the door and you got to build that rapport. Like they got to trust
exactly,
you. They
right.
got to trust you. You got to make them want to be there. Otherwise, they're going right. to do the old approach, avoid. You know, Tommy, it was cool, but, you know, I got a six pack at home, or I got a lot of work or whatever
sure.
excuse you can come up with. I mean, how do you, what's your process as far as getting people to feel like, yes, this is what I want to be doing. And I'm going to feel, I don't know, completely nourished coming out of here.
Well, I think it comes down to really your assessment of what somebody needs, you know, having those conversations, going through maybe a formal assessment, or at least sitting down and saying, you know, what are you looking to get out of this? And really understanding injury history, understand the person that you're dealing with so that you can serve them well. And then you can create a program or recommend a group program that fits them well, rather than just saying, you know, we're going to treat every single person the same, because we all have a lot of baggage, whether that's injury history or some fear of some exercise. So it's really finding that ability to really understand and assess what's going on, and then developing a program around that.
Get out there and do it.
TC Boost, baby.
There's a reason that you are listening to 720 WGN right now when Tommy Christian was in the studio. This was meant for you. This is your moment. I know you're feeling it, right?
I'm going to run a hill right now after this, man.
Not you. You're good. You work out. You work out all the time. I'm talking to somebody that's in their car at home.
I understand.
You know what I'm talking about. Who hasn't done it, but yet they need the spirit to move them.
That's right.
So, all right. Tommy Christian, TC Boost will be with you. To help you, and also will be with the Wildcats when they go to the Rose Bowl this year.
All right. Thank you.
You can feel that?
I can feel it.
There we go.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago Sports Spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Sunday afternoon. White Sox lose to the Twins 6-4. And for our golf fans here, you've got Jimmy Walker up top the PGA Championship. Just want to make sure that I got that out there.
Dynamite.
Is that him?
I think that was his name, right? Jimmy Walker.
Is it JJ from Good Times is leading the PGA Championship? Because
if that's the case, I should be watching.
One of the great shows of all time, Good
Time.
One
of the greats. And then, you know, the first time when you just said Jimmy Walker, that's the first thing that I thought of.
JJ, he's even today, 11 under par. He's through seven, shot a 65, a 66, and a 68. Deacon, if you're listening, this is for you, just so you know, and Steve Cochran and anybody else on this station who wants us to talk golf. So just know that I'm paying attention to the PGA Championship today. Todd Manley, too.
You got to love golf, man.
No, you don't. You absolutely don't.
I know we had this conversation on the show already,
but I know people do. So we're paying attention. White Sox lost to the Twins 6-4. It's the Cubs and the Mariners at Wrigley tonight. Okay, so
here it comes.
I was so excited to do this topic today. So, and this is not, you know, a super political take here. I mean, if you are voting for Donald Trump, we probably won't get along, but that's okay. So. The Donald comes out this week. The debate schedule was released, right?
Yes.
So this is the greatest. September the 26th, October the 9th, and October the 19th. And the Don got all upset, and he puts out a tweet on Friday night and said that Hillary Clinton and the Democrats are trying to rig the debates because the presidential debates are going up against NFL football. And Donald thinks that his voters are all football fans, apparently. And Hillary's fans will watch despite the NFL. So I went into the scheduling. I'm like, well, what games are it? Because I was playing softball this morning. I literally went up to every guy. Oh, okay, NFL football or Hillary and Donald? What are you watching? And they're like, oh, who's playing? It's like, oh, I got to find out. I guess I got to find out who's playing. Because, I mean, to me, Hillary and Donald, no matter what side you're on here, this is going to be phenomenal television.
Like, yeah, but...
And uncomfortable and depressing, but phenomenal TV.
It will be great TV, but NFL football? I've been waiting a long time for this, man.
All right, well, Monday night, September the 26th, the first debate. It's the New Orleans Saints hosting Atlanta.
Nah.
Right? Nah. That doesn't do anything for
doesn't do, but it's still football. Go ahead.
Vice presidential debate, 1 week later, October the 4th. No NFL football, but that could be Cubs baseball. Right there, that could be game one. I mean, probably still doing the wild card at that point.
Still so big, though.
So, but you won't have football. And then the last one is October the 9th, which is a Sunday night. It's Sunday night football.
Sorry.
This is going to be tough for you.
Sunday night is when the only time I get to watch on the big screen at home.
Giants at the Packers.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That's a given right there, Carm.
Well, okay.
I always want to see the Packers lose.
See, I'd like to hear from, I don't know, I guess people who are voting. It doesn't matter who you're voting for.
Yeah, it really does. I just want to know what you're going to do.
Yeah. Are you going to watch, fast forward your life to September 26th, and it's the first debate, Hillary Clinton Donald Trump and the Falcons are playing the Saints. What are you watching? 312-981-7200. Because I believe that Donald is wrong.
You really do?
Yes. I believe that Senor Trump, that the diehard Trumpies out there, they're going to be watching the Don, and they're going to be fired up to see him take down Hillary. That's going to be what they're going to be doing. They're not going to watch Falcons Saints. They're going to be like, Don, man, take it to her. I want to see what you're going to do. Talk about building that wall. Talk about booting people out of the country. I want to see you take it right to her. Call her out for all her indiscretions.
Yeah, but a lot of those voters, those people that might be voting might have money on the game as well, though.
Well, okay, and there is also this thing that I don't know if the Don is aware, but, you know, a lot of people right now, they have either a remote control, mm-hmm. B, picture-in-picture.
Where? I had to get 3 TVs for that.
Okay, fine. Multiple TVs, Jared Payton, upper level look. I mean, you can have Don and Hill over here, and you can have NFL football over there.
Or you could just follow Don and Hillary on Twitter.
You could do that.
Social media.
You could just follow social media along.
Because now they're putting out the clips. They're putting out those minute clips of you know, speeches and all that stuff. So
right. And what will you be watching when the debates are going on? NFL football or Hillary and Donald? 312-981-7200. Don says that this whole thing was rigged, but apparently the fall debate schedule was determined almost a year ago by the Nonpartisan Commission on Presidential Debate, which is a private group made up of both Republicans and Democrats. So they didn't purposely schedule the debates opposite NFL football, which is maybe the most ridiculous thing that anyone's ever said, although there's a lot of ridiculous things being said. And then he continues on. I mean, his quote was this. I'll tell you what I don't like. It's against 2 NFL games. I got a letter from the NFL saying this is ridiculous. Of course, the NFL then responds back to the Don and says, while we'd obviously wish the debate commission could find another night, we did not send a letter to Trump. And then, so this morning, Trump, one of Trump's aides, I love how this is written, Mr. Trump was made aware of the conflicting dates by a source close to the league. Who was that? His competitor in his fantasy football league?
Yeah, probably so.
So the Don is threatening a boycott. He told ABC, apparently has told ABC, I like three debates. I think that's fine. I think that's enough. But you know, with this whole NFL scheduling conflict, the Don might not show up because he wants to watch himself some Falcons and Saints.
I don't know. I'm trying to think about what maybe Donald Trump's fantasy football team name is.
They're called the Donalds.
Probably.
I would think. I mean, he doesn't need to get, or the Trumps.
The Dons.
The Dons.
Probably.
Trump for president. 312-981.
Who are you playing this week?
312-981-7200. Phone line, text line. Hey, nitwit from the 708. I'm assuming that's me. I'm watching football, beathead. They couldn't figure out Monday Night Football is on a Monday. I mean, should...
I love... He just got called a nitwit.
I mean,
I haven't heard that since, like, I don't know.
I mean, I guess I'm a nitwit for not automatically assuming that you would watch Monday Night Football.
There's got to be somebody out there that's not watching, that's going to be watching. Come on.
Let's see here. 773, Clinton supporter here. We'll be watching the NFL hands down. All right, 773, way to step up.
That's what I'm talking about.
224.
Listen, the NFL brings us all together, man. That's what it's all about.
Well, and we do need some of that. 224, the debate, but I don't like football anyway. So you actually really, your vote is registered, but you're not exactly who we're targeting right now.
Yeah.
779's going back and forth. I mean, I think this is a big issue. I have on high authority that Donald Trump is listening to the show right now, and he wants your opinion. 312-981-7200. Deb, you're on 720 WGN. Is it Trump and Hillary or the Saints and the Falcons? Debate one.
Well, it's 2016, guys, so I plan to do both.
Deb, thank you for putting us in our place. I appreciate it.
I mean, I couldn't believe you're actually asking me to choose. Come on. I can do picture in picture, or I can TiVo one and watch it later, which is probably what I'm going to do because I'm a diehard football fan.
That's awesome.
So we're going to be watching NFL, taping the debate, and then when I go back and replay the Tebow, I can fast forward through the stupidity that is Donald Trump.
Wow.
See,
I
look
know,
at
right?
this. She's teaching me something every day.
Well, and Deb, do you think that it sounds like you just put yourself in Hillary's corner? Do you think that Donald might actually lose voters because he doesn't realize that you could actually do both? Like, if you can't figure out that you can do both, maybe you just can't be the president.
Well, I honestly think there's probably a huge laundry list about why he shouldn't be president. But we can certainly add that to the list.
Right. I mean, we are building a case here. All right.
Deb, I love you.
Thank you, Deb.
I love you, too.
All right. You got to phrase the question. It's like, which one are you going to watch? Because, like, we both know that you can watch both.
Right.
You know, it's like, which one are you watching?
Yeah, okay, let's change the question.
At that moment.
Which will you prioritize?
Yes.
Which will you prioritize? 312-981-7200. Let's see here. The 815. Go Trump, go, or go Pat, go, Packers win from the 815. That sounds like a Pack fan who's voted for the Don. Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
630 texting, and I'll be watching the Blackhawks. Dan Long, can you double check that? Is there a Hawks game on the 29th? Is that accurate? Because I should know that. I should have double checked. Because I know the season opener doesn't come until October the 12th, but there could
be
a preseason game.
What night?
September the 29th. I'm sorry. Well, hang on a second. Let me double check that. Right, September 26th. 312-981-7200 is the phone number.
No.
I mean, listen, for me, and I love my NFL, and I can't wait for the Bears to get going, this is a no-brainer.
What?
I'm watching the debate. This is history.
September what again?
September 26th. We got a preseason game?
No, the 28th is okay. Against the Pens.
Okay.
You're not watching the debate. Are you serious? You're not.
I'm 100%
that?
Watching the debate. The debate's going to be incredible.
I guess it doesn't matter. Either or, you get your popcorn ready for either, right? You're good.
Yeah, but listen, you got 17 weeks of football. You got a gazillion games going on Sunday.
But it goes so fast, though.
It does go quickly. That's fair. My guy Kenny texting, it depends on how many fantasy football players I have on the teams and whether the fantasy game is close that week.
That's what I'm saying. You never know what could happen at that moment.
Yeah, unfortunately, he adds on, this year's election is no fantasy. I think most people feel that way. Pete, you're on 720 WGN. Donald and Hillary or the NFL?
NFL, without a doubt. Whatever. You're going to vote for either a lunatic or a liar. I already seen as much as I need to see. Yeah, I'm both, and I'll be watching the NFL.
All right, Pete. Oh, there he goes. He leaves. I think people are going to change their mind. Like, when it really comes down to it, it's that night, and there's the Trumpalumpa rocking whatever he's going to rock with the hair, and there's Hillary, and they're getting questions on whatever it's... I mean, it's going to be... That's going to be hard to turn off. I'm sorry.
Is.
Like, yeah. that is some... This is going to be rich.
People drowning their sorrows in the NFL.
I mean, if it was a Bears game, I
it's no question, right?
Well, if it's a Bears game, I'm watching the Bears. But that's because, you know, I'm hanging out with Hamp and those guys. I got to watch the Bears. But if I wasn't working the show, I DVR the Bear game. Football's better DVR'd anyway. It takes too long.
No,
bam, bam,
way.
Bam.
No, no, no. You got to be able to react on social media as it's going on. Yeah. I love seeing your tweets during games.
I do. That is a big part of it.
I don't want to see your tweets 5 hours later. Like, Carm, come on, man, you're late.
Yeah, but like old school Carm, perfect day, Sunday. You get up, you work out, you have a nice relax. You get home, it's like 1 o'clock, and you just keep going through, and you perfectly time it. So you're with about 6 minutes to go. You're right there with the fourth quarter. You're right on it.
All right.
That's my.
I can get with you on that.
That's my ideal.
Any more text?
312-981-7200. Donald or Hillary. We have a lot more texts. 708 says there is no choice. 224 says I'm asking the wrong question. I don't know what the question should be. What should the question be? 224, I think it's absolutely the right question. Let's see here. The future of the country or a sporting event? Although I get sick to my stomach listening to Trump. Let's be honest. We over-prioritize sports.
In this, we do.
And let's just limit to sports. It's entertainment as well. I mean, look at what we pay to go to games or go to movies or go to a show or go to do it. I mean, we love to be entertained. We really don't want to think about what's going on. Right?
Yes.
I mean, we all know that this dream ride is going to end at some point. So we better, you know, we're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time, right? Just give me some of my sports. I don't want to listen to politics.
I just love sports so much. Sweet 16, my son was born. I was telling my wife, just wait a little bit. We got to watch this Florida-Wisconsin game. Just can you hold it off a little bit?
Well, and that's good bargaining by you. That's outstanding bargaining. We'll take a couple more calls coming back here. 312-981-7200. Real quick timeout on 720 WGN. There it is, a little Monday Night Football for you. We're getting to the serious issues right here. We don't talk politics a ton on this show, but Donald Trump is he's very upset. You got the presidential debates opposite Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football.
And Sunday.
Yeah. You don't hear MLB complaining, though. Vice presidential debates on a Tuesday. That's right opposite the wild card playoff games. I haven't heard anything from Rob Manfredson, great commissioner of MLB, or any, you know, potential wild card teams like the St. Louis Cardinals, who lost today to the Marlins, unlike my softball team, who swept two games.
It's a little different, though, isn't it?
You just dropped, yeah.
Baseball, football. I love baseball. Football, everybody watches football.
I know. Listen, I get it. Football is king all day long. One of my favorite people backing Donald Trump on his ridiculous take that the debates are rigged. So there is a Republican national chief strategist by the name of Sean Spicer, who talked to CNN on Saturday morning. He added, the entire system needs to be re-looked at.
Ooh.
The entire system.
The entire?
Yeah. Fall debate schedule, if you're just joining us, was determined almost a year ago by the Nonpartisan Commission on Presidential Debates, which is a private group made up of both Republicans and Democrats. Might have to look at that system, baby. I think you actually, Jared, I'm Mark Carmody's Jared Payton, you might actually agree, because with your love of football, that, hey, don't be scheduling the debates opposite Monday Night Football. They should be on a Tuesday.
No, because I know that I can DVR and watch debates later.
Okay.
Deb, thank you. Appreciate you.
Yeah. It's people texting in 312-981-7200. Watch game. Trump won't be at the debate. Been looking for a way to duck it. That is a theory out there by a lot of people right now, that Trump's looking for any excuse to not show up.
I don't think he's trying to back out.
I don't know if this Don's going to be there for all three, though. The Don's going to be there for week one. But if week one or debate one doesn't go well, then yes. I don't know if the Don's showing up again. Let's see. I'm going to agree with Danny. The scheduling of the debate was rigged. I don't know who Danny is, but I'm guessing Danny is Don, and that your phone just autocorrected to Danny. The debate committee knew there would be football. It leads me to believe that both parties don't want either of their candidates to talk.
I don't
believe that to be true. I think the Hillary folk really want to talk.
Yes, they do.
I feel like they very much
Don want just wants to watch football.
Don wants to watch his football. Maybe that makes him maybe makes you want to vote for him more. He loves his NFL. The Don's sitting at home with his red zone on a Sunday, just combing through the hair, having a popcorn, screaming at people.
Popcorn getting stuck in the hair.
Yeah, all that. All right, coming up after the 4:30 news, which is sponsored by Riverside Medical Center, there is there's some just incredible stuff coming out of Rio and what the athletes are going to be up against. And since we have a Hall of Fame athlete in the studio here.
Ooh, that's actually a good segue.
Yeah. I'm just going to see what you would be willing to do. 434 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Jared Payton. Here till 6 o'clock. Adam Hoag will be
joining
back up with us at about 5:30 from Bourbon A. So Friday is the day, August the 5th, the Rio Olympics will finally commence. I have petitioned the station for the last couple of months. I've said that conditions are terrible. I'm willing to go. Have not heard from upper management, so apparently I'm not going to get to go to Rio, which is disappointing.
Don't know yet. You might be able to go still.
Well, there is always a last-second thing. These things can happen. So, and I was at Friday night, I went to the United Center for, you know, a little Olympic basketball warm-up game, the U.S. versus Venezuela.
Yes.
Got to see Jimmy Butler play with real players. Carmelo was out there. And actually, you know who was incredible? It was Kyrie Irving. He was the best player on the court on Friday night, and I talked to him afterwards. Kyrie Irving, super impressive.
Nice guy, too.
Super nice guy. Yeah. I mean, he was awesome.
I'm a Duke fan, so.
You know Kyrie a little.
Never met him before, but I know people who say he's just a phenomenal guy.
Yeah, and I was talking to Harrison Barnes, who's also on the team. And
thought he was going to be a Bull, didn't you?
Harrison Barnes?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would have taken him on the Bulls. Okay. I didn't think Dwayne Wade was going to be a Bull, but Harrison Barnes was saying the guy that's talking the most nonsense in practice is Kyrie. So I asked Kyrie about that, and he was like, no comment. So apparently Kyrie's got a big mouth in practice, which I can appreciate that. But the point is, like, you know, I asked Coach K, or Coach K was asked, I didn't ask him specifically, you worried about what's going on down there? No, I'm all good. I'm bringing my grandkids. I'm bringing the whole, you know, we're not even thinking about that. So you got different reports out there. Recent tests by government and independent scientists revealed a veritable petri dish of pathogens in many of the city's waters of Rio. From rotaviruses that can cause diarrhea and vomiting to drug-resistant superbacteria that can be fatal to people with weakened immune systems. I mean, this is what they're going to be swimming in. You're going to Rio, you're an Olympic athlete. There are dead bodies floating in the water down there and couches. And Rio, when they bid for the Olympics against Chicago, if you remember.
Yes.
They promised to put $4 billion into cleaning up their waterways and getting an actual sanitation system, which you would think it would exist at this point in life, even in Brazil and Rio.
Anywhere.
They ended up spending $170 million, which is not, and again, you know, I'm not a math major, but I think that's a lot less than $4
billion. Yes.
And they basically just spent $170 million on trying to, like, just acquire what was ever going in there. It wasn't really cleaning it up. So it's a complete disaster. Yet the International Olympic Committee gave it to Rio for whatever reason. You can never, you know. Researchers at the Federal University of Rio also found serious contamination at the upscale beaches where many of the 500,000 Olympic spectators are expected to frolic between the sporting events. So if you're going down there, it's not just like some rando beach in the corner that, you know.
This is where people are hanging out.
Yeah, you're the rich people that are going to Rio, and you're going to be hanging out, and you shouldn't go in the water. Dr. Daniel Becker, foreign athletes will literally be swimming in human crap. And they risk getting sick from all the microorganisms. It's sad, but also worrisome. Associated Press. Last year recorded disease-causing viruses in some tests that were, you ready for this? 1.7 million times the level of what would be considered hazardous on a Southern California beach. You want to go to Rio? You in?
I'm not in. Listen. Guys that I know that I played football with that used to, you know, back in the day that went over, they always talked about how they had the safety. They're renting either like bodyguards to go around with them for the fear of getting of guys who went and got set up before. Like they would go and hang out and get set up in gunpoint and have to take off their watches. And
right?
I know that happens anywhere, but out of your country, it's probably a little bit more scary.
Right. I mean, that's a whole other side of it.
And so we all know that some of the most famous people in the world are going to be in one place.
Yes, I think. I mean, I'm listening to Coach K talk. I'm like, are you serious? You're bringing your family down there. What are you doing? Like, have you read anything? It's not a good idea.
They're going to stay at the hotel pool.
Okay, fine. Most of the money state's sanitation budget has been spent on trash collecting boats and portable berms to stop the sludge and debris that flow into the bay. You can't handle it.
I just can't. I just had some Skittles and now I'm not feeling good.
They can try to block big items like sofa. This is a real quote. They can try to block big items like sofas and dead bodies, but these rivers are pure sludge, so the bacteria and viruses are going to just pass through, said Stelberto Suarez, a municipal engineer who spent 3 decades addressing the city's sanitation crisis. That's my guy, Stelberto Suarez. Stelberto has been on the line for years trying to get Rio to come correct. Rio hasn't done it. Pledged said $4 billion, instead spent $170 million.
Yeah.
So they got whatever they got, what I just said. Trash collecting boats and portable berms.
What did it for me that I didn't want to go cover or be there, when I heard dead bodies float up, I was like, I'm good.
Yeah, Stelberto was talking about a dude that was like dead and bound with his arms behind his back just floating down the waterway, and then one of those berms caught him. Thanks for playing. So that's your Olympics, by the way. I'm excited. I love the Summer Olympics. I'm a big fan. Give me some track and field.
We talk about some of the places, the stadium's not built and done yet.
Well, I know that the Olympic Village, they've got, you know, there's only going to be 11,000 athletes in the Olympic Village, where if you go to the bathroom, at least when the Australian team got down there, there was water flowing down the walls, the toilets were backed up, all that was going on. Four cities should be able to host the Olympics for the rest of time until further notice. Put it in L.A., put it in Shanghai, or put it in Tokyo. Just give me huge cities that got tons of stadiums
that can handle it,
and that's it. I mean, Chicago could handle it.
We could have handled it.
We got soldiers. We got Wrigley. We got Comiskey. You could do things at Northwestern. There's a million different DePaul, whatever. There's a million different angles that they could have played.
It would have been nice.
Instead, they're going to Rio, where, like, what's done is done, but it's not really done. Like, it starts on Friday. Just pull it out of there, man.
He can't do that, man.
Why not?
You just can't.
Why not?
I mean, it sounds easier said than done. Just to pull it. Come on, man. That's rough. Dead bodies.
I don't see why you can't pull it out. Like, if I was an athlete down in Rio right now, I'd be like, what? They're pulling us out here? We're going to L.A.? Thank you.
Okay, what do some of these guys, like some of the NBA guys think, like, when they hear all this stuff?
Right, and that's the other thing. Like, I'm watching the film yesterday of, you know, they're all on the plane, they're all singing, Jimmy Butler singing songs, and DeMar DeRozan, Carmelo Anthony's up against the window, like in torture, what are you guys singing? Do you all know where you're going? Like, I don't think they've read if you read this piece that I'm like, oh my God. And I'd like kill to go to Rio and have a South America. But this is like, the people that are putting on the event are staying on their own cruise ship. They're not even going to be on land. That's irresponsible, sir.
Yes, it
madame.
Is. Sir.
This just ain't right.
This ain't right.
That's why we're here on 720 WGN to call this out and make this a better world.
We're not staying on a boat.
We are not staying on a boat.
We're on land.
Yeah, we're living this dream. All right. Go Rio. I said, I thought we should bring a little consciousness to what's going on. And
I just have a hard time believing that these guys don't have somebody that's reading this stuff that's telling them about what's going on.
Like, I was seriously going to go like...
They have PR people, agents, come on. I mean, we're talking about million-dollar...
Talk about missed opportunities. What happens if I just stood up with Coach K's talk? Hey, Coach K, listen, Mark Carmen, WGN. Have you read anything? Do you know what you're saying? Have you lost your mind? And then maybe be like, dude.
We're
staying in the 5-star, and we got bottled water, and we're good. I know everything that's going on, and it's brutal, but I'm not going to be affected. I'm Coach K. Who does it, by the way? Coach K, he ain't young anymore. That body, he's walking slow.
It hurts.
It's
his knees.
Yeah, he it's
his knees. Don't I know?
I'm like, Coach K. Wow. I mean, I'd love to go play basketball for him if I could rewind the clock 25 years and actually have talent. I'd go play for him all day long. He doesn't need to move around. But at any rate, all right. We shall move along. I got one of my Carm issues for you coming back here, JP. It actually happened today on the softball diamond. It's a vintage morality issue.
And I got something for you.
Okay, good.
23 years ago today, something happened.
Okay, let's do all that coming back on 720 WGN. All right, before we get to my morality debate, tell me what happened 23 years ago today, Jared Payton.
It might be a little bit too much.
Really?
Might be a little bit, yeah. It might need its own little time.
Okay.
Did he tell you?
No, he didn't tell me.
Okay.
You're smiling at me.
You really want to know?
I kind of want to know.
Today, 23 years ago, I inducted my dad into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow. Wow.
In Canton, Ohio.
That's amazing.
Pretty cool, right?
That's a long time.
First son to do it. So it was one of those moments. I woke up today and I was like, dang, I know what today is. And I still remember that day. Hot day in Canton, Ohio. Can never forget it.
Wearing the brown.
Yeah, had a nice little high top fade. Sean Kemp with a little bit of Gumby, you know?
How old were you? Not to
13 years old.
You were 13 years old. So you're 13 years old. Your dad, Walter Payton, comes up to you and says, hey, Jarrett, how would you like to induct me into Pro Football's Hall of Fame? And what? How did that conversation go?
No, I don't want to do it. I was scared.
But is that how he asked you? Like,
yeah,
what
he came. He basically came home and sat down with all of us that were like my mom, my sister, and my housekeeper, Miss Luna, and was like, he had somebody else in mind, and then that person ended up getting sick, and he was like, how would you like to do it? And I was like, yeah, why not? And after I said yes, I was freaked out. I wasn't freaked out until the Hall of Fame sent me a book of like a history of the Hall of Fame, and you open it up in the first page, Carm, is like the outside part where you see all the people sitting. And I was like, dude, I don't even like speaking in front of like my middle school class. I got to get up in front of all these people. I was like, this is a little bit freaky.
What did you say?
I got up and I said a joke first. I mean, I had a written speech, but I got up and said a joke first. And once I did that, I was pretty cool. Everybody was like being loud, and I cracked a joke, like, can you be quiet? You know, like, and everybody started laughing, and then I just went on. I did it.
Did you write it yourself? Your mom help you? How'd that go? I'm assuming
it was
help.
Someone helped me, but it was a process, man.
Right.
It's pretty cool though.
That's big time.
Yeah, it's different now because you don't see it anymore. It used to be, you know, it was cool to do that for the first time. But now every time you see it afterwards, you know, people talk about those moments. They say that's one of the best moments. So just to be a part of that history is cool.
Well, and just for the record, one of the coolest things about Jared Payton, outside of the fact that you're just an all-around good guy, is that a lot of people in your position, they wouldn't want to talk about their dad as much as you do.
I love talking about him.
And you love talking about,
dude,
34.
He's the best, dude.
So
I watched a video the other day, Carm, and it freaked me out. Like, it freaked me out how good he was. Seriously. No joke. Like, I don't care what anybody says. They could tell me all these other people and all these other players. There's no one better, dude. It's no one.
Hey.
Sorry.
Sorry.
It's kind of like how you feel about Jordan.
I do. Well, yes.
Just not your dad.
Yeah, he's not my dad. But Fred Carman's still in the record books of Illinois for returning a punt 100 yards. You Google Fred Carman, who's 90 years old. He's still in there, Marshall High School. Not quite the same level, but, you know, creeping on it. Let's not sell Papa Fred short here. And no, but seriously, like, I think it's awesome how much you celebrate your dad. It's super cool. All right, now for my inane topic as we segue out. Okay, so I'm on the softball diamond. That's what we do on the show.
I love this.
So I'm on the softball diamond today, right?
Yeah.
We got an umpire. His name is Maury.
Is it a real name?
That's his real name. I'm a real name call you out guy. I love Maury. He's one of my favorite people of all time. Maury's also 90 years old, around there. Maury's an old man.
So why is he outside?
He loves it.
In the heat.
He loves it. He's got his hat on. It's mostly shaded there by home plate. He doesn't really move from home plate all that much. And Maury's not sprinting out to second for any calls, which is cool. And like, listen, it's Sunday morning softball. I respect the fact that Maury's going to get some calls right, and sometimes he's going to get some calls wrong. So we get a play at second base where I think it was, I don't even remember exactly how it all unfolded, but bottom line, it was a ground ball. I think it was like a ground ball short. He kind of booted it, and the runner on who was going from first to second stopped and then continued going. None of that really matters other than the fact that after he picked it up, he stepped on second base. The runner going to second was out by 3 or 4 feet.
Yeah.
And Maury, I don't know what happened, but he calls him safe. And the dude, I mean, he was out by 4 steps.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't close. So everyone just standing there, both dugouts, like completely stunned, like, come on, man, he was out by 4 feet. So I'm in left field. This guy's wearing number 21. I start screaming at him. I'm like, come on, 21. You know you're out. Opportunity to do the right thing here. Let's have some morality. You could say you were out, walk to the dugout. I mean, I'm screaming it for a little while there because this was like people were literally standing there stunned for 2 minutes, which is a long time in a softball game.
Yeah.
And, he stood on second base. He wasn't moving. He just kind of like turned and looked out at me like I was nuts.
I probably would have done the same thing.
And then I walked in the dugout. I asked everybody, I'm like, would you have called yourself out there? And they're like, no, I wouldn't. Like, there's not one person on like either dugout except for myself in my utopian world where I would say, look, I was out. I'm going to have some morals here. I was out by 4 feet. I mean, it wasn't like bang, bang where I might have been safe. I mean, this was like.
I probably would have then. If everybody saw that, listen, I was out by 4 or 5 feet, come on, then I'd be like, you know what, this one's on me. But if it's close and we got no replay, then yeah, I'm gonna stick it.
And aren't you the better man right there? I'd be like, hey, Maury, I was out. And you just walk back to the dugout. Like, and no one in your dugout's going to be like, why did you do that? Or maybe if they are, but then you're still on, to me, you're the better person there. You have an opportunity to like, live life the way life should be lived right there. My dream utopian,
gosh, Carl,
do what's right world. 3-1.
I swear to you, you confuse me all the time. You're such a good person, and then you want to win, but then you want to, like, what? You're just a good guy.
312-981-7200. Should our number 21, should he have called himself out?
Hashtag Fessler.
Hashtag Fessler, which if you don't get that reference, you need to listen to the show more. 312-981-7200. I mean, I think I was out, done. And you, and like, Maury, I don't know what happened.
But Maury can't see, though.
Hashtag help Maury.
Help Maury. We need hashtag new glasses for Maury.
Right? I mean, I was yelling for a while too.
And what in the dude? Was he bigger than you? Who was on second?
If he wanted to fight, I would have lost. But you know,
why I got to start coming to these softball games with you. Be your hired muscle.
I do need some muscle.
Pay me in food.
We gotta. I mean, it's where we play on Sundays, Lincoln and Tui. There's a great New York bagel right there. I could hook you up with a nice lox sandwich on a Sunday morning, huh?
Ooh, lox and bagels.
See, look at my guy.
Man,
look at my guy. We got more. We
gefilte fish.
Yes. Well done. Hey, coach. Here's my king of morality calling in. I love it.
Carmine is just against my better judgment. I completely agree with you.
Oh, my man.
Coach, come on.
See, that is when I know that I'm on the wrong side of the law too, because coach is in his own corner. But right, coach. Come on. You were out by 5 feet, dude.
Yes, I think you have to. And, you know, I had a situation where I was umpiring. One of the hardest plays is when a infielder turns around back to the home plate ump. There's only one ump in a softball game to tag a runner, say, going from second to third. And it's really very hard to tell, right, because you're basically blocked out. So a couple times this season, you know, I might have called a guy safe and the runner said, you know what, he got me. And I, as an umpire, appreciate that, and I think like Jared said, if it's close, no. If it's obvious, nothing wrong with the player helping you out.
I'm with you, Coach. I mean, that's...
And this is, by the way, Coach is in the trenches. He's umping softball. So right, you're not perfect. You're one guy out there. A little integrity on the field. Why can't we move the world in a better way?
Both of you guys, this is what scares me, is that Coach is agreeing with you on something. So now there's actually some issues in the world.
Jared, it scares me too, believe me. Let me ask you a question, Jared.
Yeah.
Pony League World Series game, 13, 14-year-old kids. Okay?
Yeah.
A kid hits a grand slam homer, walk-off home run in a World Series game, and it goes over the fence. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the umpire and you see the runner on second, as he's running around home, he misses home plate by maybe 6 inches. All the runners cross home. The team is celebrating. They're jumping up and down. The catcher saw the runner miss it. He signals to the manager. Manager appeals to you. The ball went over the fence. You saw him miss home plate. Do you call it or not?
Wow. That's a great one.
I think he got to, Coach.
I wouldn't. Coach, my answer on that is
I saw it and he didn't touch home, I got to do it.
I wouldn't call it, but if they asked for it and I knew he missed it,
that's what he said. If he called for it and I saw that he missed it, I would have to call it, man.
I disagree with both you guys.
The ball
went over the fence. Who cares if he missed the plate by 6 inches? Why, as an umpire, why wouldn't you? And by the way, 70% of the people agree with you, but why wouldn't you just tell the manager it was close? I thought he got it. Why would, as an umpire, you take that great play away from a team when it made absolutely no difference on the play?
Coach, you got me. I'm with you. No, he touched home plate. Get out of my face. The ball's over the fence. I'm with you, 100%. I changed my mind. That's how powerful you are these days, Coach.
Jared, did we get Jared?
No, I'm staying. I'm sticking. The world is right, Coach. I thought it was going to be better if you two disagreed, but it's okay.
Never be bound by technicalities, Jared.
I know.
Spirit of the rule, my friend.
I got you.
Coach, you're the best. We'll see you at Wildcat Soccer.
I doubt it.
see you, Coach. Appreciate you.
All right.
The coach, our director of morality. I think we're going to have to give Coach a title on the show. Let's see here.
What do you got?
Okay, here's a good one. This is a good question from the 705. Carmen, when you hit a shot in tennis that is called good but it's out, do you fess up? I'll tell you what. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. Most times I'll be like, you sure? Because there's certain guys you play, you know, we're calling our own lines, they don't see well. And if they say, hey, I don't see well, then I will take a more active role and be like, you know, I can't, listen, man, on the other side of the court, the line's hard to tell. But in general, like if I know that I hit a ball out and they call it in, sometimes I take it, sometimes I don't. And whenever I take it, I feel like an ass and I feel like I deserve to lose. Or at least
normally win, though, don't you?
Not lately. Okay. 0-1 yesterday. Smoked off the court.
TC boost.
Oh, I do need some TC boost.
107-84 Miami. The spin by Stoudemire and the foul. Turn back the clock. Amari Stoudemire taking it with a man's move.
Miami trying to win four in a row for the first time in 2 years. Another pick and roll. Stoudemire thriving, and Dwayne Wade keeps finding it.
Stoudemire, oh, what a move. He was able to adjust and go glass. Suns by two. Had rhythm right from the start. Now with 35 points, 10 rebounds, the Suns open up an 8-point lead.
No, I mean, my dedication to the game should never be questioned. I'm always giving 100%. That's why I work hard every summer. That's why I persevere through injuries. So I try to dedicate my game to the game of basketball.
It's my jam.
Get it rolling. Now, why would we be playing an Amari Stoudemire highlight package on 720 WGN?
Because he's one of the greatest Jewish athletes ever.
That's exactly right. It ain't a long list. But Amari...
It depends on what list you're looking at that's on the internet. There's a lot of great Jewish athletes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, I got a list here, but Amari Stoudemire started in the NBA at 20 years old with the Phoenix Suns. He finished up his career, which was amazing that there was actually a highlight on there, with the Miami Heat, which he didn't exactly do a whole lot with Miami this year. It scored 5 a game, but we had one in there from Dan Long. And is retiring today. Now, Amari Stoudemire, I mean, if we were going to profile what Jewish people look like, Amari at 6'10", an African-American, would not be the guy that, you know, you necessarily see at synagogue. Right?
Yes.
Okay. But Amari is, I think, the greatest Jewish athlete of all time.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Come on now.
Stop.
Don't even. Can I just name one?
Well, hold on, because we're gonna throw it out there. 312-981-7200. We got a list here of the top 25 Jewish athletes of all time. You name two on the list, we'll give you Lou Malnati's. Two on the list.
I'm not going to say the name, but there's one, when you mention
the greatest
always pops into my head.
Did he play his game in the summertime?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to grant you that one. But Amare.
Does Amare have any rings?
No, Amare doesn't have any rings. Stoudemire went to Israel in 2010 on a spiritual quest. In a TV interview with an Israeli sports network, he sported a large white yarmulke, spoke a few words of Hebrew, and conditionally committed to fasting on Yom Kippur, 2010.
Yeah.
This guy, in 2010, he told the New York Post that he is a Jew spiritually and culturally. And he said his trip to Israel was inspired by finding his mother an ancestral Jewish.
Mazel tov. I mean, that's all you can mazel tov.
Right? That's a full mazel tov.
And if that's the case, when I remember hearing that for the first time, and I was like, you know what, Amari? Good for you, man. Good for you.
I mean, this is... I'm just telling you again.
I mean, he's pretty serious about this.
He is. The thing is, he's retired. But no. He's retired from the NBA.
He's going back to the homeland.
Gosh,
look how it comes back full circle, Carm. It comes back full circle.
The man's going to play for HAPOEL Jerusalem, which I believe is Hapoel Jerusalem.
Hapoel, yep.
Come on now. The story goes he may have retired from the NBA, but Amari Stoudemire is not done playing professional basketball.
Okay, how much money do you think they pay him over there? He's got to get at least get paid a couple mil a year, right?
And Amari's not – listen, I guarantee you Amari's not doing it for the money. He just wants to play in the homeland, be with his people. Huh?
He bets he gets like a shoe deal.
Oh, yeah. Listen, and by the way, you know, Israel, it's people think of Israel, they think like, it's all about Jewish people. Listen, I've been to Israel a couple times. Last time I was there, I met a whole lot of people that were not Jewish from all over the world coming. And Amari's, you know, you go down to Eilat, which is the southernmost point.
Yes.
And the beaches.
That's I saw on House Hunters.
Yeah, I mean, they're coming from all over the world. I mean, I'm talking to one guy, and he's I'm like, where are you from? Jamaica. Jamaica. Okay, my man. I mean, he had the accent, everything. He was like looking at me like, yeah, you got a judgment on that there? Weird Chicago.
Rasta.
And the Rasta was hanging. It was awesome.
Jewish.
All right, now,
athletes.
I mean, I'm looking at the list here. You give me two, we'll give you Lou Malnati's. Now, we got a couple Lou Malnati's here, and I'm looking at the names here. You better get creative if you're not the first caller here, because... I've seen a lot of the same names on the line. So just know that. I'm giving you a little tip. And I'll let you do your two if somebody doesn't hit it, Jared. Look like you're chomping at the bit.
No, I just have two. I did a segment on this on the radio back in the day. Greatest Jewish athletes of all time.
Was that with
Harry and Spike?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
I mean, Harry would.
I really got into it as well. I like did my homework. And like, it was. I learned something about my peeps.
There we go. Hey, Mark, you were first up, so you get first crack at this. Greatest.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Yeah, no, just for the record, like my list here, my top 25 list is subjective to myself. You might name somebody that I don't have. But go ahead.
I cover a bunch of sports, but let's start with football. Sid Luckman, baseball, Hank Greenberg, easy ones.
No, you're in, Mark. You just knocked it down. What can you tell us about the great Sid Luckman?
Well, he wore that funky hat, didn't he? Funky helmets back in those days, leather helmets.
What year did Sid Luckman play football? Do you know that?
We're going to go back to the, let's go with the 40s.
That is correct. All right. You, Mark, we vetted you. Mazel tov. Congratulations.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
You got
Thank
it.
Thank you. All Mazel right. tov to you.
Mark, you got it. We'll see you at services next Friday night.
Hey, great show, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Always love it.
Appreciate you. All right, so we just got Hank Greenberg and Sid Luckman knocked off the list here.
So, are you taking me to services or what?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take you, and then you can take me.
Okay.
We can have a whole. Let's get some spirituality going on in the show.
I'm cool with that.
I'm open.
I don't want to just be narrow minded. I want to be that,
right.
Open them up. Open it up.
I feel you. You want to go?
It's the only way you get to know how people are.
I agree. I'll go to a Buddhist temple. Let's go. I'll go anywhere. Great people. Different faiths. It's a beautiful thing.
But how much pizza do you got?
We got a lot of pizza.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we got some pizza. I think we got pizza. Stephanie Menendez will find us some pizza. Hey, taxi driver Bob, you're my guy. Who do you got?
All right. Well, I already got one that was already named already, Hank Greenberg, but who could not name Sandy Koufax? Come on now. That was what Jared was probably thinking, I'm thinking.
Gosh, yep. You know what? I love you. I mean, Sandy, if you don't
this
know.
Guy, lights out.
If you don't know about Sandy Koufax, please do your homework. This man.
You better hang up your yarmulke on that one. Exactly. You don't know him. You know what I'm saying?
You got another one, though, that you need two here,
need
taxi
two.
Driver.
Oh, okay. Besides ones that were already named already?
Yeah. Yep.
I bet you're.
Oh, jeez, man.
Come on.
Wow, you should just give me on Sandy Koufax alone.
No. I gave you a. I told you, taxi driver.
Think about the Olympics.
Think about the Olympics.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Olympics sports guys, I'm bad with.
I can't give him any credit.
No hint. In 5, 4, 3, two. Taxi driver, we love you.
We love you,
taxi driver.
All right, take care, man.
He was so distraught.
All right. And listen, you got to get two. So off the board now, and I'm taking Sandy Koufax off the board.
Okay, he's off the board. So you have Sid Luckman and Hank Greenberg.
And Sandy Koufax are all gone. We need two for Lou Malnati. It's getting harder here. 312-981-7200. Amari Stoudemire retires, certainly the greatest Jewish basketball player of all time.
Yes, I'll give you that one.
You want to call Sandy Koufax greater? That's fine.
Yes.
I mean, Sandy, sure, fine. Mike?
Yes.
You have anybody else other than what I see on this screen? Because the two on the screen are gone.
You just want two, or can I give you three?
Hey, we'll take three.
We'll take three.
All right, Dolph Schayes.
Dolph Schayes is on my list.
76ers.
Al Rosen.
Al Rosen is on my list. Tell us about Al Rosen. For those who don't remember the great Al Rosen.
Played for Cleveland, third base.
Yeah.
And probably a lifetime 280 hitter.
What's his claim to fame?
That I can't tell you.
Almost won the Triple Crown. Was one point away from winning the Triple Crown. Al Rosen. Okay. All right. And who's your third?
Mark Spitz.
I was trying to give
text.
Spitz.
Spitz was that was Phelps before Phelps.
That's a good one. Mike, where do you go to Temple, Mike? Where can we hang out?
Well, I go anywhere that'll accept me.
So
I love it, man.
Mike doesn't want to pay, just wants to get in for a good service. I appreciate that.
I feel you.
Right?
Great, all right. You guys got a great show.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you.
Let's not forget, though.
Let's not forget.
I know everybody's thinking about that there's the guys. Let's not forget about the ladies.
Forget about the ladies.
Please.
Give me one lady.
Me?
No.
Okay. I already have one. One of my favorites of all time to
SB?
Watch.
SB?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to leave it out just like that.
Leave it out.
Hey, Sam, you want to honor some great Jewish athletes? That's what we're doing on the beat right now.
Hello.
Hello,
hey,
Sam.
Hey, Sam.
Yeah, hi, how you doing? Yeah, what about Kenny Holtzman?
There you go. It's another good one. You got somebody else, Sam?
How about Ryne Sandberg?
That was...
I'm fishing, huh?
Rhino, I don't think is a, I mean, I'm sure he has some Jewish friends, but I don't think he's, you know,
he's not part of the chat.
Who?
No, Johnny Weissmuller.
Who's that?
Johnny Weissmuller.
Yeah, who is that?
Tarzan.
Okay. Sam?
He was a former swimming athlete in the Olympics years ago before he became Tarzan.
He is not. I got. Who did you say? What's your name?
Johnny Weissmuller.
Not Lenny Kralsberg.
No, Weissmuller.
I don't have that on my list, my friend.
He did play water. He in the 20s, winning the Olympic gold medal for swimming and won bronze medal in water polo.
Okay. Hey, Sam, we appreciate you.
Okay.
You're a champion. Bye. Thank you, my friend.
He was right, Carm.
He was nice. I said he got to be on my list.
Oh, okay. Now I got you.
I mean, we can't give away the whole station here.
Weissmuller wasn't on there?
Weissmuller's not on my list. Right. I don't have any Weissmuller. I got a couple women, though. I got an AA, which I don't think you know who. I mean, you know. AA is a golfer.
You got DT?
DT. Do I got a DT? I don't think I got a DT. Who's your DT?
Is she not on there?
She's not on here.
Is it the swimmer, Dara Torres?
Oh, yeah, Dara Torres. Not on my list.
She was one of my favorites to watch.
Oh, let's see here. Let's get Lori involved. Lori, you're on 720 WGN. Great Jewish athletes. Amari Stoudemire's retired, going to Israel.
Okay, well, one was taking Kenny Holtzman. I'm old enough to remember him with the Cubs, but has anyone said Ryan Braun yet?
No one has said Ryan Braun.
No one has said him.
Half Jewish, but
great player. And he wasn't a great player, but I want to give a shout out to Mo Berg. Great Jewish, well, not a great Jewish athlete, great, but he was a great linguist and he was a spy. So I think he deserves a little credit for playing baseball not so well, but being a great spy and being a great linguist.
Who? Mo who?
Mo Berg. He was absolutely amazing. I'm pretty sure he was a Jewish athlete. He was sent over by the State Department to spy on the Japanese right before World War II, and he could speak a ton of languages. And he did play baseball. He hit around 200. He was a catcher. But I think he deserves credit for being Jewish and being a great linguist.
Lori,
he might not be on your list, but she just gave us a history lesson.
All right, Lori, you're in. Do you want Lou Malnati's, Lori?
That would be fabulous.
Okay.
Thank you.
Jared just did that for you.
Hey.
I would have let you go, but Jared's in the game.
She just gave me somebody
great.
No clue about.
Yeah, that was awesome. Hang on. Thank you, Lori.
I love you, man.
Love you too, bro.
You just know how to spark up these conversations, man. You got me. I'm like tingly over here. I got goosebumps. Like, this is what it's all about. I love great Jewish athletes. This is perfect.
Well, I mean, my brother sent me an email. It's like, did you know that Amari Stoudemire was Jewish and he retired? And I'm like, yes, of course I did. But I'm like, that's a topic. I think we could have some fun with that. Let's go. Let's get some Amari going. My other brother, I emailed everybody. I'm like, we're doing this today. It's like, I don't think that's going to work. Your listeners won't care.
I'm still trying to figure this out.
Amy Alcott, LPGA. Oh. I had Ryan Braun, Sue Bird was the SB, Sean Green, Dick Savitt, Ken Holtzman, Jason Lezak, Marshall Goldberg.
Ian Kinsler?
Don't have Ian Kinsler on here.
Goodness gracious.
Tal Brody, Kenny Bernstein, Max Baer, Amy Alcott, Marty Hogan, Ron Mix of the Chargers, Barney Ross, a boxer, Lenny Kralsberg, Dolph Schayes, who was mentioned, Benny Friedman, which is a phenomenal name. Al Rosen, Sid Luckman, Mark Spitz, Hank Greenberg, Sandy Koufax.
Are you kidding me? Gabe Kiremi is not on that list?
Gabe Kiremi didn't make the list.
I'm out of here, dude. This is ridiculous.
What's on Sports Feed tonight?
I have no clue, man. I decided to sit down here and hang with you, man.
I think I'm on this week with y'all.
Yeah, I hope so. 6 o'clock Sunday through Thursday on CLTV. But listen, anytime I get a chance to talk sports with you, talk life with you, it brightens up this is the great start to my week. So appreciate you, bro.
Jared, you're the man.
Thanks to everybody for listening as well.
Yeah. We're Jared's heading out. I'm here till 6. Adam Ho's going to jump on at 5:30 with some Bears talk. And a little thought on Dwayne Wade and whose team it is for the Chicago Bulls coming up next. 720 WGN. All right, time for one quick basketball thought. Gonna have Adam Hogue from Bourbon A after the 5:30 news. Brian Noonan is here at 6 o'clock. I'm Mark Carmen, 720 WGN. Jared Payton has left the studio, does sports feed on CLTV at 6 if you want to check Jared out on the tube. Okay, so earlier this week, let's play this soundbite, Dan Long. Dwayne Wade had an unbelievable press conference where he made people laugh, including Gar Foreman 1,000 times, which was creepy. But that's really not necessarily important. It was just uncomfortable for me to listen to Gar Foreman laugh this much. But he was, of course, asked, whose team is this between you and Jimmy Butler and Rajon Rondo? And this is what Dwayne Wade said.
I think it's Jerry Rondo's team.
Yeah, that's the last I checked.
It's Jerry Rondo's team. I remember when Shaquille O'Neal came to Miami, coming from the Lakers, 3 championships. We had no championships at the time. And I remember his press conference. And I remember Shaq said, we're not going to go through this all year. He said, it's Dwayne Wade's team. So we're not going to go through this all year. This is Jimmy Butler's team. Myself and Rondo are here to bring what we bring.
So there you go. And which is exactly what he should have said, right? And the whole concept, whose team is it? It's kind of exhausting and mostly ridiculous, but that's a conversation that just seems to be had on any basketball team, and so it happened here. And Dwayne, being a great teammate already, saying that it's Jimmy Butler's team. But I just want to put this out there. Jimmy Butler tried to be a leader last year, and by all accounts, failed miserably. He called out the coach in a very weird, he's got to coach me harder, which was not what you do with a rookie coach in Fred Hoiberg. He lacked connection with Derrick Rose to the point that they had to break that up, which is on both of them, but Jimmy gets his 100% of his part of that. He wasn't beloved either, I don't believe, by the guy that also is playing for the New York Knicks and Joakim Noah. This is more of a guy that thinks he should be a leader, knows he should be a leader, but doesn't really know how to do it. And I think it's important to remember with Jimmy Butler, when he was at Marquette, he wasn't the best player on that team. This is a guy that has sort of always been in the background. Late first round pick. He was not the man on the Bulls, but he just kept working and working and working and working. And give him credit, he is now an Olympian, the best player on the Bulls, but he has not really learned how exactly to be a leader. And I'm not saying that Jimmy Butler can't do it, because I think Jimmy's a super smart guy, and I think he wants it really bad. But I think one of the best things, and however the Bulls will do this year, they'll do 40 wins, 45 wins, 35, whatever it's going to be. But I think one of the best things of having Wade here is that Jimmy can look at a guy who's won multiple championships, has played with some of the best players in the game, and he can learn from him. Which you would think, being around him, however long they're around each other, something would rub off. So I think that outside of whatever Dwayne's going to do on the court, and outside of how he's going to lead or help lead the 10 guys that they have on the team that have experienced 3 years or less, the way he's going to rub off on Jimmy, if Jimmy allows him to, which hopefully he will, that could be huge for Jimmy Butler in his career. So I don't care whose team it is. I guess it's Jimmy's team. Whatever. It's not a good team. They're an average team. Maybe an above-average team at best. But I do think that there's an opportunity here for Jimmy to step into something that he really doesn't know how to do. And he wasn't going to learn it from Derek, because Derek's not a leader himself. And he's not going to lead like Joakim, because Joakim is just so genuine and so enthusiastic. It's just different. So maybe he'll learn something from Dwayne.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN. 720 WGN. Hope you had a great weekend. Go get him tomorrow, baby. Monday morning. Put that game face on. All right, your leader at the PGA Championship is Jimmy Walker, 13 under par, a 2-shot lead on Jason Day. He's on 14, Day is on 15. Guy by the name of Daniel Summerhays is in the clubhouse at 10 under par, needing a massive collapse. So a little drama in your golf. White Sox lost to the Minnesota Twins earlier today, 6-4. White Sox also made a trade today. Zach Duke, one of the great White Sox of all time, has been traded to the St. Louis Cardinals. Minor league exciting. They got an outfielder by the name of Charlie Tilson, who is supposedly a hard-nosed reserve outfielder type who can hit it a little bit. He's a left-hander, left-handed bat. And, have a sell-off. Start with Zach Duke and maybe a whole lot more before the deadline tomorrow at 3 p.m. Cubs and the Mariners tonight at Wrigley, Sunday Night Baseball. Bears in Bourbon A, and Adam Hoge is down there, and he joins his own show now on 720 WGN. Hi, Adam Hoge.
Hey, Mark Harmon.
Good to talk to you, sir. So,
more trades for the White Sox?
Not yet, no, and I have been monitoring Twitter at a very rapid pace.
Thank you.
Andrew Miller did get traded from the Yankees to the Indians for a boatload of prospects. Their number one and number five prospect. The Cubs gave up their number one to get Gleyber Torres, so not one and five. So if you were wondering what Andrew Miller, the other Yankee, would cost, it was one and five. But more importantly than that, Adam, for our diehard Bears fans right now that are listening and driving home and thinking about football, what reasons would you give them for optimism this year? Because I think most people look at this like it's year two of a 3-4 year rebuild with Ryan Pace, and they're still in the middle of it, and the defense is better, but the offense still needs some significant work. What would you point to now that you've been in Bourbon A for nearly a week? What level of optimism, or what things can you point to where, like, you know what, they might be pretty good in this area?
Well, I think, first of all, in the NFL, rebuilds don't usually take 4 or 5 years. So that's one positive that suggests that, 2 years into this thing, they can make a significant leap forward. But, of course, it's a case-by-case basis, and you actually have to make changes, positive changes to your team to get to that point. But, I think for the most part, since Ryan Pace took over as general manager, there's been very little to complain about. The only two obvious examples where I think fans have really objected was, of course, the Ray McDonald signing a year ago, which was, a lot of people had a problem with that for much more than just football. And then I think a lot of people were surprised when Matt Slauson got released in the offseason. But, there really haven't been any major busts from either a free agency or drafting standpoint yet. It's still early to evaluate everything. Antrell Roll is really the one guy, if you were to say, that signing didn't work out. But in the NFL terms, it's not like he cost you all that much money. You knew you were signing a 30-plus guy to begin with, and he got hurt, and that kind of thing happened. So it's not all that surprising. And so when you look at the improvements that have been made on defense, first of all, without too many personnel changes a year ago, or at least impactful ones, you still went from the worst defense in Bears history to middle of the pack, just based on your coaching and doing simple things and playing hard, max effort, those kinds of deals. And then they went out and they continue to make improvements. I think especially up the middle with the defensive line and inside linebackers, like we talked about earlier in today's show. And that tells me that, hey, this defense could be top 10. I played you this Eddie Goldman from yesterday when I talked to him, saying that they should be top 10 defense. And that's, I think, a very realistic expectation. And if they are, that can help you overcome some offensive shortcomings, which I think actually going into the season right now, there's more questions on offense than defense.
I saw it. I'm scrolling through Twitter, and Chicago Bears, who I follow, at Chicago Bears, they put out a quote from John Fox. So this is their media relations, obviously, doing this thing. Fox, which, by the way, we'll get to your basketball game with them in a second. But
yeah,
Fox,
there might be a rematch going on tonight in about 45 minutes.
Let's go. Get your head on straight. Fox, okay. Quote, "I like what I've seen in Jay's game, whether it's on the field or off the field." So the Bears, like just super promoting Jay and John Fox and their connection.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is most definitely.
Jay had a good year last year.
He did.
He had a good year. And there's been enough turnover here in this building. You know, the not the literal building, because we're down here in Bourbon A, not House Hall, but just the building of the team and the roster, that, you know, Jay has respect of pretty much this entire team at this point. There are not any holdovers from, you know, a previous era that don't respect Jay Cutler, which was maybe an issue in the past. I mean, he has the full respect of not just the offensive room, but the defensive room as well. And they believe in him. And, you know, he's evolved not just on the field, but really off the field, to the point where, you know, I think a lot of those national narratives that still linger, most of it is very untrue. So that's why the Bears talk about him the way they do. That's why guys like Zach Miller talk about Jay Cutler in a way that he re-signed with the Bears, really to play with Jay Cutler. At least that was a very significant factor, as we discussed yesterday. So I think those are all things that are important and matter. But ultimately, as we all know, it comes down to not turning over the football with him. And if he comes out and he starts taking more chances and he commits turnovers, well, then it's going to be a problem. But otherwise, I think Jay's going to be in command of this offense once again, because really, while they've switched coordinators, they haven't really switched the offense too much. So it's not like he's going through another major change in the playbook.
Right. There should be some comfort. I get that. Hey, I see that my guy talked today, the 5'10", 177-pound, 7th-round pick, 9th overall in the 7th round, 230, the 230th guy selected. Mm-hmm. He ran a 5.47 40 out of Western Michigan. Daniel Braverman, who I think is going to be the next, great receiver in the history of the NFL. How's my guy Braverman looking? Because I hear that his dad calls him every single day to see how Braverman's doing.
Yeah, or as the Facebook commenter on my story today immediately posted, "Hey, how's that Beaverman guy doing?" I'm adding the accent because I'm just assuming that's how it was written in his head as he typed it on the Facebook.
Yeah, how is Beaverman?
Yeah, Beaverman's doing good. Beaverman's doing first of all, he's not running, against the first team defense right now. So I think it's going to be really hard to judge Daniel Braverman until he goes up against, you know, a legitimate first team cornerback, probably against some opponent. And I'm not sure we're even going to see that in the preseason, right? So maybe we'll get a better gauge when they go to New England and they practice against the Patriots. But even then, if he's not going up against some of the top corners, it's really going to be hard to get a full evaluation of him. I think what the Bears want to do is see if he's at least, you know, worthy of a back end of the 53-man roster, and maybe they can stash him on the practice squad if it doesn't come to that. But here's an interesting way that he can make the team, and I asked him about this today. Possible punt returner, because he has some return experience in his past in college, and he's getting some work there right now with the Bears. So that could be an area where he can emerge, because I don't think that the Bears are necessarily set on any of their returners. But it is kind of an interesting battle, possibly for a roster spot, between Mark Mariani, who we know the Bears coaching staff loves, and he's a veteran and a reliable possession receiver. And then there's the younger guy, Daniel Braverman. I don't know necessarily it's going to come down to those two guys. It's kind of early to say. But that's something to watch out for here in the coming month.
Mariani, Cos Jr. That would be emotional to lose Mariani. But I think he could he could attach to Braverman. That's a vintage battle right there. Mariani versus Braverman for the last roster spot. Tune in for your preseason NFL football. What about a guy by the name of Akeem Hicks, who's one of the Bears' new defensive ends, who I hear that he's showing nicely.
Well, he's become a very vocal leader early on, I think, in just his time here with the Bears. You know, he's a beast of a man. I mean, that is something that was very obvious right away, not just to us, but also to his teammates right away. He's a guy that's very, very hard to move. I'm trying to find right now. There's a good quote from Adrian Amos today about what Akeem Hicks has said to their defense. He says, make offenses feel you. That's what he said. Adrian Amos, the Bears' safety. Make offenses feel you. Akeem says that a lot. He's been stressing that all camp. So I think Akeem Hicks is both a guy that's coming quickly and showing, like, hey, I'm going to be really hard to block. I'm gonna keep offensive linemen off the linebackers, which is a key, too, to be able to let those guys like Danny Trevathan and Drell Freeman free from blockers. And if that happens, then they're going to be making plays and shooting some gaps. But really, mindset, too. These are the kinds of guys that Vic Fangio wants to have on this defense. And I think Akeem Hicks is making an early impression.
All right, let's get to this impending basketball game tonight.
You,
as a member of the media, along with, let me remember the names here, Patrick Finley, Dan Wiederer, Adam Johns, and who am I leaving out?
Kevin Fishbane was involved.
Okay. You all lost.
And Potsy, too.
And Potsy, right. You all lost to the Bears media relations team in three games of hoop. And Jay Cutler taunted you, and John Fox taunted you. And, you know, this is a huge embarrassment. And you're talking about a rematch tonight?
Yeah, except word has it that only two members of the media relations staff are going to show up.
Okay. Who's?
So, I mean,
is the D3 Hooper showing up?
Yeah, of course he is.
So how are they going to field a team with two guys?
Well, I think we're going to have to mix it up a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this is not an opportunity then tonight.
It's not really a full rematch.
Yeah, this is not.
And I might try to get on the D3 Hoopers team.
that is most definitely the strategy you should use.
I can't handle losing again.
Right. No. Did you hear my softball morality debate earlier today? I'm assuming not.
I did not. Sorry, Karma. I've been working real hard out here.
Okay.
You
well,
can tell me about it though.
Yeah. Well. Just while you're playing your hoop tonight,
okay,
and you know, it's not a ref game, so I guess it doesn't really apply. But there was a guy. We have a 90-year-old softball umpire today, and a guy was out at second base on a force play by 5 feet, literally 5 feet, and he called him safe.
Okay,
and I was in left field screaming at the guy at second, saying, "This is an opportunity for you to have some morals and head on back to the dugout and call yourself out." And I kept on yelling it, and he finally, like, turned his body and looked out at me like I was completely crazy. So
I feel like we've had this discussion before.
We have, but it happened again today. The opportunity was there, and not only did this guy not call himself out, but when I went in the dugout and talked to everyone on my team, wouldn't you call yourself out there? Not a single person on my team would have done it either.
Yeah, I think you're kind of on an island on this one. I don't think that I'm going to take myself. Now, I might admit to the other team and say, yeah, I was definitely out. But I'm not going to go back to the dugout.
Yeah, you're not
going to play on.
Yeah, no, you didn't go back to the dugout.
You got to overcome adversity of some bad calls.
Yeah. I okay. All right. Well, I mean,
you got to pitch through errors.
I don't think anybody down at Bears camp in your hoop game tonight, if the ball goes out on them, they might just try to sell it. And if you see that, Adam, I want you to do something about it.
What is your opinion, though, on – so I'm the kind of guy – I'm not going to call fouls unless I'm, like, dead.
Yeah, that's my opinion.
I mean, because I got hacked a few times the other day, and I wasn't going to call it.
I mean, if it really affects your shot, then okay, I'm calling it. But if it doesn't, you know, if there's guys on, you know, play pickup hoop, travel, easy, dude, easy. We're not calling walks out here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep the game moving.
Yeah,
it's,
there was
it's pickup basketball.
There was a blatant carry by Scott Hagel as he blew by me the other night, and I didn't call it. I just went down the other end of the court.
I mean, I might call it on Scott Hagel. Let me read you a tweet that just came out from Rich Simini, who does great work covering the New York Jets. Running back Matt Forte, one of the Jets' big offseason additions, still hasn't practiced because of a hamstring injury, which I'm sure you're aware of.
Yeah.
So the Bears perhaps feeling validated? And
we'll see. I mean, it's not surprising, though, to see a 30-year-old running back start to come up with these issues. I mean, it's something that really Matt Forte avoided for most of his career, but eventually you reach a point. I think that's where if you were Ryan Pace this offseason and you had a tough decision to make, you just go with history for the most part. And, you know, I think a lot of people, including myself, said that, you know, Matt Forte might defy history a little bit because of how durable he's proven to be. But, he's had some issues here and there every once in a while that popped up. So let's see how long this affects him. But that is certainly interesting. I'm sure Bears fans have taken note of it, that Forte is dealing with something already in camp.
We got a question coming in on the text line here, Adam. How's Boykin look at cornerback?
I'm going to give you the John Fox answer that he gave the other day. They just signed the guy.
Brandon Boykin, for those not knowing who Brandon Boykin is. 26 years old, runs a 4.4, out of Georgia, been around a little bit.
Yeah, has some history in the league. Really hasn't done a whole lot, though. They signed him to fill out the roster. A lot of guys running out there, 90 jerseys all in all. He hasn't really stood out so far in camp. It's only been a couple days, so let's give him a little bit more time.
All right, before you go, the number one Adam Hogue gold star of training camp on this Sunday goes to?
Today or in general?
Let's go today. Let's keep it in the moment.
Lamar Houston. Lamar Houston's had a very good camp so far. It's only been four practices, but the guy was training in Turkey this summer.
Wow.
I mean, apparently they do some different training there that he really wanted to do. He's back. He's fully back from that torn ACL, and he's looked very strong, very quick, and very good so far with the pads on the last couple of days.
That's funny. I remember reading about him going to Turkey, but it somehow fell out of my mind that he went to Turkey to get himself together. And that's hey, man.
Sounds like, by the way, he got out of there, I think, just in time.
Well,
based on what's going on there now.
Timing is everything in life. There is that as well. All right, what can we expect at WGNRadio.com this week from a one Adam Hogue?
I just put up some observations from the last 2 days of practice now that the pads have been on. We've had 2 days to watch that, so you can read that right now at WGNRadio.com/Bears. Should have a new episode of Intentional Grounding up as well soon. Not sure if we're going to get that done tonight or tomorrow, but it should be up soon. And another day of practice tomorrow, and then the first off day is Tuesday.
All right. Hogie, great stuff, brother. Be safe. Be safe in the Miata.
All right, I'll try not to and I'll also try not to break or tear anything in basketball.
No, take him down tonight, man. Shoot it. Get up and down the court. Show your athleticism. That's what I want to hear about.
All right,
there he goes, Adam Hogue down in Bourbon. I'd love to be, I would love to play some pickup hoop with the media and Bears brass. Just see how I would measure up, which I'm hoping, thinking.
You could probably get in on that if you get on there.
I'm sure I could, yeah, but that's, you know, Bourbon A's long way away here, Dan. That ain't happening. Hey, we got a final timeout, and then we'll talk to Brian Noonan, who is up next at 6 at 720 WGN.